जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद जय गौर भक्त वृंद श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद ओ हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Morgen ist der Erscheinungstag von Tomorrow is the appearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri in order to help us all to tune into this wonderful festival, we thought to tell a little bit of the pastimes of Srila Madhavendra Puri, which you will most properly experience as quite ecstatic, and I hope you will really see a few treasures which you have overlooked in the personality of Madhavendra Puri. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wanted to find a suitable analogy through which he could express Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in the world and the activities, he had to do something which we could call mystical poetry. He had to give an analogy which is stretching the conditioned soul's imagination a little bit beyond the ordinary borders, so that now, with a stretched, or let us say, a weiterter imagination, it is possible for the conditioned soul to really understand something of the wonderful appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami said that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world, he brought with him a Kalpa Briksha tree. Those of you who know Kalpa Briksha trees know that these trees are able to fulfill all of one's desires. And they are never limited in their supplies. Whatever you wish you to have, you can get in unlimited numbers. So the root of this Kalpa Briksha tree, the tree of love with the fruits of prema, the root of this tree is no one else than Srila Madhavendra Puri. And how this is so, and how we can deeply understand Madhavendra Puri's identity, will be so fascinating that you will either lose your attention and not be able to concentrate any longer, like many Hare Krishna people who are not so spiritual by nature, or you will go really deep and feel a wonderful experience in your Krishna consciousness. Because this is such a deep subject, I need to first of all pay my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada so that I can speak on the subject matter. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. If you look in the book Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, to find out the identity of Madhavendra Puri in the spiritual world, you will actually get a very mystical answer. He is, in the spiritual world, a Kalpa Briksha tree. A spiritual tree. Hare Krishna Syamala, welcome. You will hear today a very wonderful explanation of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is in the spiritual world not a gopi or a cowherd boy, but he is a wish-fulfilling tree from which you can obtain anything which is required for the service of the divine couple in the spiritual world. Those who serve Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world need things like cloth or nectar drinks, flower shoes, and all these items which they can obtain from the Kalpa Briksha trees who are taken care of by Srimati Brinda Devi. So Madhavendra Puri has come from the spiritual world on the request of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also here in this world he serves in the Kalpa Briksha tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and brought with him the fruits of love of Godhead who grow on the tree of where Madhavendra Puri is the seed and the root. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, considered himself to be like a gardener in the garden of love. And he wanted his devotees to become also connected to this garden of love as distributors of the love fruits. So the trees who brought this, or the tree who brought this love of God had tree has had to be a very special tree, not a mango tree, not an orange tree, not a German Boskop Apfelbaum. It had to be a very special tree, and the root and the seed is Madhavendra Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself became the trunk of the tree, and the tree branched off into two big branches, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often express frustration. He said, this tree has me as the only gardener. I need more people to help me to bring the fruits of love of Godhead. So what is Madhavendra Puri's unique position in this? We have said he is the roots of the of this tree, or the seed of the tree. See, up to the time of Madhavendra Puri, our spiritual lineage or sampradaya only knew of ritual worship of God, you know, according to rules and regulations, or as we can say, the Vaidhi Bhakti method. But with Madhavendra Puri, a new spiritual impulse came into the Sampradaya. The impulse of spontaneous, heartfelt expression of loving emotions in the different rasas to Lord Krishna, especially the Madhurya rasa. So Madhavendra Puri is therefore, in one sense, the seed of ecstatic love of Godhead. Ishvara Puri is his talented disciple who grew out of the seed of Madhavendra Puri and carried this special form of love. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became, in this analogy, the fully grown trunk, the strong trunk. Let me describe to you a little bit what would happen to you if you would see Madhavendra Puri. What would you see? You would see a saint or sadhu who would be totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so much so that when Madhavendra Puri saw a dark rain cloud, he was spontaneously reminded of the beautiful monsoon-colored Lord. And he fainted in ecstasy and laid on the ground for 6 hours. Hare Krishna. Not 3 hours. Not 4 hours. 6 hours. That's as long as you take a rest in the night. It's a long time. Just if he would see a rain cloud. If Madhavendra Puri would live here in Goloka Dham, he would constantly be on the ground. That would be... But you and me, we are complaining about the bad weather. Do you see, Prabhus, what is inherently wrong with us? We are fortunate to be in the land of rain from this spiritual perspective. Why do we complain? We should complain that we are not sufficiently Krishna conscious. When Madhavendra Puri walked, he would not be able to contain his ecstatic bliss in Krishna consciousness, so he invariably started to dance. And as he danced, he was not conscious about the roads, but sometimes fell down and bruised his soft body. For Madhavendra Puri, there was one suffering. In his time, that was a little before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, he was very worried to see that people would forget Krishna. And sometimes he felt also in his ecstatic love of Godhead that he would also forget Lord Krishna. So, in the association with these people. So therefore, because he saw that the people were not really Krishna conscious at that time, he sometimes was very silent and withdrawn. And if he traveled, he traveled by himself, not in the association of others. Because for him to be taken out for even 1 second out of the ecstatic remembrance of Lord Krishna was the greatest intolerable misery. For us it is misery when we do not get our preferred foodstuffs. Like today, I'm a misery because of the Ayurvedic treatment. Or some consider misery when someone whom they love very much dies. But for Madhavendra Puri, the greatest misery which he could imagine and which he could not tolerate was to forget Krishna for even half a second. Now one day, One time, this is where I want to read to you something so that you get a better picture of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, with his disciples, Brahmananda Puri and Ishvara Puri and others, traveled in the forest because they kept very much for themselves, these highly elevated Vaishnavas who would be always engaged in remembering Krishna, staying in the forest. And there, in the forest, he saw all of a sudden a personality who totally impressed him. It was no one else than Lord Nityananda, who also traveled in the same style as Madhavendra Puri. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He only sang Hare Krishna and goose pimples of ecstasy were coming. And Lord Nityananda would fall down on the ground and roll himself on the ground and call, Ha Krishna, where are you, my Krishna? So he saw these two met together. And what happened then was so ecstatic that I cannot tell it in my own words. I have to read in the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Madhavendra Puri did not relish anything other than loving sentiments for Lord Krishna, who enjoyed his pastimes in the body of Madhavendra Puri. You know, when a devotee is so much in love with Krishna, then Krishna comes into the heart of the devotee, converts the heart of the devotee to Vrindavan with the Yamuna and Govardhan hill, and Krishna will dance in the heart of his devotee. Therefore we say to such a devotee, you have Krishna in your heart. Lord Govinda takes his rest in your heart. I remember once we asked Prabhupada, does Krishna always stand in the heart as the super soul? Prabhupada said for a moment, he said, one moment. He closed his eyes and he said, just now Krishna is lying. The Lord takes his rest in the heart of the devotee and performs other pastimes. So Vrindavan Das Thakur said, what more can I say to you about the devotion of Madhavendra Puri, who was the spiritual master of Sri Advaita Acharya? Now, when Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri, he was immediately stunned in ecstatic love and fell to the ground unconscious. Seeing Nityananda, Madhavendra Puri forgot himself and also fell unconscious. See, Gaurachandra has repeatedly stated that Sri Madhavendra Puri is the original root of worship in ecstatic love. So when both of them were down on the ground, all the disciples of Madhavendra Puri started to cry, what has happened to Guru Maharaj? He's lying in the ground and does not move. Now when the two awoke from the ecstasy, they began to embrace each other, snack, and began to cry. Overwhelmed in ecstatic love for Krishna, they then rolled in the sand and cried out loudly, Oh Krishna! Much louder, but I don't want to shock you. Tears of love flowed like rivers from their eyes, Hari Bol, and soaked Mother Earth, thereby making her feel highly gratified. Bhumi became very satisfied when the tears of Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda mixed and made her ground muddy. And then it's described how they shivered and they shed tears and their hair stand on end, and because Lord Chaitanya personally resides in their body. And Lord Nityananda then said, whatever pilgrimage I have performed, till now has today borne fruit. Today I have seen the lotus feet of Madhavendrapuri. By seeing his ecstatic love of God, my life has become successful. Madhavendrapuri then embraced Nityananda and was unable to reply, for his throat was choked with love. So Madhavendrapuri was so happy, and also Nityananda was so happy, that for many hours they could not solve their loving embrace. They were just embracing and holding each other for many, many hours. So, yes, this is something from the book Chaitanya Bhagavat on the meeting of the two. Now, a little after this, Madhavendrapuri went to Braj, and like all pilgrims, he performed his Govardhan Parikrama. Usually, the devotees who perform Govardhan Parikrama first go to the town Govardhan, where they visit Haridev, a deity of Lord Krishna, who was worshipped by the gopis, and who is helping the devotee to do his Govardhan Parikrama. So when Madhavendrapuri had one time traveled around Govardhan, he went to a kund called Govindakund, where he sat down and did what these exalted devotees do. They chant and they withdraw their consciousness to the holy name and then go into what is called Svarasika meditation. In this meditation, the devotee perceives how from the holy name the pastime of Lord Krishna spontaneously manifests in his heart. And as he spiritually enters this pastime, he will experience the dynamics of this pastimes, who will take him along almost like a river who takes along a person to... Yes, I can understand the microphones. It is very spiritual. Please remain and don't fall unconscious on the ground. This river of Smaranam, remembering Krishna's pastime, will take the devotee from one pastime to the next pastime. And in this way, the devotee will remain absorbed actually 24 hours in Krishna thought. This is one of the many fruits of chanting the holy name. These great devotees chant the holy names, especially in the Lila stans. Lila stans means the places where where a pastime was performed, and start from there, shwup, to enter this river, and then they are gone. So this happened also to Madhavendrapuri. He forgot all about his physical identity and did not go to beg for any food. Now in the afternoon, he saw how one of these Brijbasi boys came to him and said, "Baba," and with a sweet voice, and gave him a pot of milk. Madhavendrapuri said, how did you know that I had not eaten anything? He must have been exhausted after a Govardhan Parikrama. Who has done Govardhan Parikramas of you? You might remember, after having done a whole Govardhan Parikrama, you feel a little hungry and a little tired and a little exhausted. You feel spiritually quite enlivened, and but you also feel a little exhausted physically. Usually this is at least what happens to normal people. So he had not eaten the whole day, imagine. Last time when Gaurahari and myself went on Govardhan Parikrama, we knew, somehow we felt it would become a long Govardhan Parikrama because Giriraj was so beautiful. So then in the middle of it, we just felt, now we need to give the body something. So we ate a whole mountain of prasadam and then we slept. And then we continued. And imagine a whole day without eating and then doing Govardhan Parikrama. So the little British Parsi boy said, "Oh Baba, I knew that you were hungry. The village ladies told me that you are here and chanting. And please know that no one in my village goes hungry. Here, take this milk and in the evening I will collect the milk pot." So Madhavendra Puri took this extremely wonderful milk, drank it, and continued to chant. But as he was chanting, he couldn't really enter again into his intense meditation on Krishna. All he could think of was the little boy who had brought him the milk pot. And this was quite a perplexing situation for him. And the little boy didn't return in the evening to collect his pot. So Madhavendra Puri was chanting the whole night. And then all of a sudden, he saw the little boy again in the midst of the night. And the boy said, "I'm actually here since a long time, and I also don't get enough to eat. I'm lying here since a long time under a bush." I thought you're from this village. Yes, I am from the village, but I'm put into a grave in the bushes. Once I was worshipped here, but then out of fear from the Muslims, my pujari hit me under the ground. Madhavendra Puri went, "Oh no, hi, hi." Hi, hi means zu Deutsch, oh weia, oder oh weh sagt man. Oh weh, oh weh. My Lord came to me, brought me milk and I didn't receive him. Now, and he heard what Krishna had to tell him. "Now you come with me, I will show you where I lie, and tomorrow you bring me out of the bushes and you start worshipping me immediately. And don't forget, I'm very hungry." So then Madhavendra Puri in the morning informed the Brijbasis, who immediately came with their shovels and all other Brijbasi instruments, and they took the earth away from where the bush was, and they found, actually, this is what I heard, the first thing they found was the finger of Lord Krishna, the middle finger, I think. Oh, what finger did he use? Little finger, isn't it? The little finger they found, which had carried Govardhan Hill. And from there, they removed all the dirt. And then they made this huge deity celebration. Madhavendra Puri took a big stone from Giriraj at the throne and another big stone to support the deity as a backdrop. And then they had, for many, many, many days, a huge ceremony, and Gopal got enough to eat. The villagers were so enthusiastic that each village demanded, "Next day we want to make the ceremony." And then the next village came. No, and the other day we want to do. So for a whole month, every day, they brought mountains of rice because he was very hungry. Very hungry to satisfy their Gopal. Then Madhavendra Puri brought some of his disciples, some brahmanas who did the worship. One day, the deity told him, "My dear Madhavendra Puri, I was actually lying for so long under the bushes and my body has become very hot. Please bring sandalwood from Puri in order to make daily sandalwood paste and smear my body with it." This was during the summertime. If you are in Vrindavan during the summertime, you will see how the pujaris, to bring some coolness to the deities, bring him out of the little altar room to the veranda. Almost like here, you see we have a little veranda. And they bring him out there where there are more breezes. I think here we can't really do this. And we are in Goloka Dham, not a problem. and then they smear also sandalwood on his body. But to make it even more cooler, they take fragrant flowers and make a flower altar so that the fresh breezes who come bring the scent of the jasmine flowers to the deities who are in this way enjoying the beautiful atmosphere. Then in the evening, devotees come and sing for the pleasure of the deities. It's a really wonderful. Sometimes they also swing the deity because in the evening to swing is very good for the circulation and for relaxation. So Gopal wanted also sandalwood for this festival. Madhavendra Puri immediately followed his Gopal, who had spoken to him in a dream. "My dear devotees, this is real renunciation, to follow the desire of the Lord." He went barefoot. Madhavendra Puri went barefoot through UP, Bihar, and Bengal. In Bengal, he traveled on the side of the Ganga. That he came to Shantipur. And people in Shantipur told him that here is a great devotee of Lord Krishna called Advaita Acharya. When Madhavendra Puri heard this, in his heart, he desired to see Advaita Acharya, because he really didn't feel satisfied to see so many people forgetting Krishna. And so one day it's described, when he desired to see Advaita, Advaita was coming to the Ganga and there they met. This was the meeting of guru and disciple. Advaita Acharya was so impressed by Madhavendra Puri that he actually begged him, "I have not yet found my spiritual master. Please, you initiate me," in the sacred mantras. You can see when you study Madhavendra Puri's disciples, there's Advaita, Nityananda, Paramananda Puri, the old Bharata Puri, Ishvara Puri, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Ranga Puri, and some even say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father, Jagannath Mishra, was initiated by Madhavendra Puri. Some say. So in his own unassuming way, he continued from there to Orissa and came to the little village of Rimuna. In Rimuna there is a temple which is in the jungles. It's a beautiful temple. Where there is a beautiful Gopinath deity. This Gopinath deity has the most amazing history to it. Please listen to the history of this Gopinath temple and feel enlivened in Krishna consciousness. This deity is actually millions of years old. It comes from the time of Lord Ramachandra and Sita. Once Lord Ramachandra was sitting in the forest of Dandakaranya, and he looked to where there was a meadow. Meadow heißt sowas wie eine Weide. And there he saw some white cows, the cows of the rishis. And when he saw the white cows, he began to smile very sweetly. And Sita, who was sitting next to the Lord, was asking, "My dear Lord, why are you smiling like this?" "Oh, I'm just smiling." No, why are you smiling like this?" Lord Ramachandra said, "I cannot tell." "No, you please tell me." "I'm smiling," said Lord Ramachandra, "but don't tell it to anyone. I'm smiling because I am thinking of the form in which I will appear after a few million years. It is my most sweetest form. You know what this form is?" Lord Ramachandra closed his eyes. "I will become a cowherd boy." And you, Sita, will be a cowherd girl." "Oh, my Lord," said Sita, "this is very intriguing. Now we are king and queen, and we will be cowherds? "Yes, and it's bliss," said Ramachandra. "It's the highest bliss. We don't have such bliss in this Leela. We will be in total love. I will call you with the flute, and you will come, and we will sit near the bank of the Yamuna, who is giving the most ecstatic love of Godhead." Sita said, "What will the form be like? Can you give me an idea?" So Lord Ramachandra said, "Yes, but you cannot disturb me." So for 9 days, he went every day into the forest, and after the 9th day, Sita could not contain her Neugierde, inquisitiveness, and came. And what did she saw? She saw how her own Lord had an arrow in his hand and engraved into a black stone the beautiful form of Gopinath, playing the flute and all. And if you look at this form, Shishtikata has seen this form with his own sacred eyes. And I have also seen it when they had taken the cloth away. Have you seen there? Everything is on this. There are cowherd boys down, there are cows, then there are gopis. And then I think in one corner there are the restless Chanura and Mustika. It's really the whole Krishna Leela is there. It's not just Gopinath, it's everyone and everything else. And, you know, nothing is not there in this extremely beautiful deity. You can only see it if you follow the footsteps of Shishtikata. And are a sacred Vaishnav, then they let you come close. So Madhavendra Puri came to this beauty. Then Sita saw this form and said, "This is the most beautiful form." And Lord Ramachandra said, "Yes, I know. But I have almost come to the end. I have not made the form complete because now you have come. Now I have to stop my work. I'm sorry." So this form is there, but it is really finished. So yes, Madhavendra Puri now came to this Gopinath form, to this Gopinath, and he heard in the evening that in this temple they served a particular nice brand of sweet rice to the deities, which was homemade from their own cows. It was like sweet rice, or it is not actually sweet rice, it is a milk preparation of thickened milk. He heard about this, and in his mind he desired to prepare such a preparation also for his Gopal. As he was desiring to have this sweet rice and taste it so that he could make a similar preparation or the same preparation, Madhavendra Puri did not feel good about himself. It was in the evening time, the offering had been made, and it was Aartik time. So Madhavendra Puri stayed for the Aartik, but after the Aartik, his feeling of dissatisfaction grew so strong that he left and didn't stay for the Mahaprasad distribution. Because he felt in his mind, I want the sweet rice to enjoy it myself, not the sweet preparation. And this is very bad. I'm such a neophyte sense enjoyer. So in great desperation, having noticed one idea of having identified a thought to be sense gratification, he felt so desperate that he left the temple and went to the lonely marketplace where he chanted the whole night. How many times do you think of sense gratification during one day? Or let us say during 1 hour? Or let us say during 10 minutes? It's a very often, I think, we are extremely expert in this. When Madhavendra Puri thought this, which is not sense gratification, he felt so bad. Now, as modern Hare Krishnas, we feel good about our shadows. Let us go through the shadow to the light. Sense gratification, key J. Suppression is wrong. This is our philosophy in the modern Kali Yuga time. Madhavendra Puri felt, oh no, Krishna. I wanted to enjoy what is for the Lord. He is a supreme enjoyer. So he did not want the sweet rice any longer. He went to the marketplace and chanted the night. So the pujari, when he took away the pots of sweet rice, noticed there was one missing. But he thought, maybe I was spaced out. Maybe I carried only 7 pots instead of the usual 8 pots. He forgot about it, went to bed. And then in the night, he heard a voice. Hey, wake up. In his dream, he saw the deity Gopinath, who said, wake up, take your shower and take the pot of sweet rice, which I have stolen. I'm a great thief of milk and butter sweets, and I have stolen this time, but this time not for me. I have stolen it for Madhavendra Puri, my devotee, who's on the marketplace. Go and give him the pot. It is my desire. Tell him he must eat it. So this is what happened. The pujari took a shower and brought the went to the marketplace and called out, hey, is anyone there who's Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has stolen the pot of sweet rice, sweet condensed milk. So Madhavendra Puri was just chanting. He heard all of a sudden the voice, and then he saw the pujari coming to him and said, here, Gopinath stole a pot of sweet rice for you. We will have to think about his new name now. We will most probably call him Chira Chora Gopinath, the Gopinath who stole the condensed sweet milk. Hare Krishna, take it. So Madhavendra Puri took this and drank it, and then he damaged or broke the pot, clay pot, and took it in his cloth, and every day he sucked a little piece of the clay pot for memory. Hare Krishna. Now, my dear devotees, who of you has eaten this Amrita Keli, this condensed sweet milk? Krishna Nandi, du hast das gegessen? Bist du dir sicher? In Remuna? Na, no, das kann ich mir nicht vorstellen, weil das ja schlecht wird. Du hast das von Radharaman gekriegt, in den kleinen Pötten, ne? Von Gopinath in Remuna? Ich kann mir das nicht vorstellen. Sadan, du hast von Radharaman, es ist auch gut von Radharaman. Sadanandi has gotten it. Anandini, that's why you are Anandini, so full of Ananda. And yes, and Shrishtikada and myself, we have drunken shamelessly many pots, and we have not felt any bad feeling about sense gratification, but it was pure sense gratification. It was so, I mean, just to think about this condensed milk makes me want to get up, leave this lecture this moment, and go to the next airplane and drive to Ramuna to just finish my life by drinking these sweet rice, especially after a Virachand day. It is indescribable. The taste is very, very nice, but there is something. Maybe it is because of the lila. I think it may be the lila which makes the devotee experience this condensed milk also as something special. We sat in this hall and we just drank one pot after the other. Even I remember Kishori and Madhva Muni were there. Madhva had to stop, but Kishori also couldn't stop. And she seemed to have, you know, extra dimensions of stomachs ready for this sweet rice experience. It was so wonderful. Madhavendra Puri, when he took this sweet rice to himself, he knew that the next morning the pujari would have told all the devotees about Gopinath's theft. And he knew that all the devotees would feel, Madhavendra Puri, you are such a great devotee, the Lord has stolen a pot of sweet rice for you. And just the thought that the devotees would praise him was so unbearable for him, that the same night where he received the sweet rice, sweet condensed milk, actually, kheer, yes. Now, kheer is again sweet rice. It's condensed milk. I didn't taste any, was there rice in it? No. Ach so, kheer is ohne Reis, sicher? Ja, ja, aber ich denke immer, Kheer ist doch Sweetreis, ne? Habe ich noch nie gegessen, außer in Remuna. Okay, also Kheer. Ich bin so und so nicht gut in der Küche, das ist ja bekannt. Also Kheer. So just the thought, just go into his psychology for a moment, made him feel so uneasy that he left in the night for Jagannath Puri. This gives a very intense dimension in the psychology of the bhakti psychology. A bhakta who is feeling love in his heart does not wish to be praised. He also doesn't need to be praised. I think someone who does not feel love in his heart, he often needs some recognition. Hast gut gemacht, hast gut gemacht. Dumm kriegst du Kier. We need, the human being does have a great need for attention and recognition also. And I think you all know if that this is one of the challenges which we face in this project. We have to learn to be very kind and attentive to all the devotees in this project, because this is always the number one reason why devotees do not feel drawn to a temple. They feel, they say, no one cares for me. This is always the reason which they say. And I think we all need to really love the serve the devotees and give them really this thing which they need, attention and so on. But Madhavendra Puri, who was so ecstatic, who was on a different platform than us, did not wish to have this. He felt that the recognition or attention for which the normal human being and the normal sadhaka is so hungry that he cannot live without it, it was as disgusting as the stool of a boar. Now when you have, there are different types of stools, in case you did not know. There's the ordinary pig stool, which is quite cultured because they get nice food. But the boar, it's almost like the Adivas amongst the pigs. Boar heißt Wildschwein, nicht ein Hausschwein, sondern Wildschwein. He goes for things which we do not wish to mention, even in our boldest dreams. And what he produces as dung is so absolutely unattractive. And unusable. So Madhavendra Puri felt recognition to be like that boar dung. Just for those of you who are, you know, I'm on a very fallen level, as all of you know, and therefore I know these subtle distinctions. I'm not so cultured. No, I will not say more about this subject, because you will feel very you are on a different level. You cannot enjoy such discussions, but it's really the lowest considerable material substance, and he wanted to run away from this. He just didn't want to have anything to do with it. So he went to Puri. And when he came to Puri, something very extraordinary happened. All the people said, "You are such a great devotee. Gopinath has stolen a pot of kheer for you." Do you know what Madhavendra Puri's reaction was? He said, "Yes." Now you may think, why did he run away from Puri also? If he feels like this, there is a very secret reason. He wanted to go to Puri because he needed, for the service of Lord Krishna, sandalwood. And when the people came and said, "You are so great, how can we serve you?" Madhavendra Puri said, "You can serve me by bringing me one mound of sandalwood." That's 82 pounds of sandalwood. See, for his own, he rejected the fame, but for service, he took this fame. That's very interesting. That's real renunciation. for the service of Krishna to do something. That is the definition of real renunciation. At that time, 80 pounds of sandalwood was highly costly, and there were government controls even at that time, so that it was not stolen or taken away and so on. So Madhavendra Puri took these 82 pounds and went to Vrindavan. He accepted it on behalf of Guru and Krishna. He went on a walk of 1,000 miles with 82 pounds of sandalwood on his body. Hare Krishna. So when he came back to Rimuna, Gopinath had waited for him. He went to sleep, and in the night he saw all of a sudden his own deity, Gopal. And Gopal from Vrindavan said, "My dear Madhavendra Puri, I'm so glad that you brought the sandalwood, but I have interesting news for you. I am actually not different from Gopinath. If you give the sandalwood to Gopinath in Rimuna, you will not have to carry it all the way to Vrindavan, and I will feel cool. Hare Krishna. It is my desire. Mix it with a little camphor and then put it on the body of Gopinath." This point is for me a very revealing point. There was a point in my own bhakti where I had seen the deity of Gopinath in Puri, Tota Gopinath. And I had heard that this deity was the deity who was seen by Lord Brahma. And I must say, I felt extremely inspired and thought, now I have seen my Ishta Devata, you know, my Gopinath. And at that time, I was thinking, what is happening with my devotion to Radha Madan Mohan and to Radha Kunya Bihari? Now, I have served Radha Madan Mohan all my life, as good as I could. And what happened with this? Now I love Gopinath more. And I was a little bewildered until great Vaishnavas helped me to understand that there is really no difference. It is the same Krishna who is Madan Mohan. It is the same Krishna who is Govinda. It is the same Krishna who is Gopinath. Only sometimes he performs this function to connect us and to take care that Kamadev, who is so powerful in our hearts, stops a little his mischievous work. And other times he brings, does other things like inspires us for devotional service. So one of all the three deities are present in that deity which we worship. When you go to Madan Mohan, you should not feel, oh, Govinda is in Jaipur, he's not here. Or Gopinath is at Radhakund, there's a Radha Gopinath. You should know that they are all present in this deity. And that is what Gopal told to Madhavendra Puri. He said, you should smear the sandalwood on the body of Gopinath in Rimuna, and it will cool me here in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. It's a nice point, isn't it? I don't know if you see the subtlety of the point, but it helped me very much in my devotion to Krishna, to understand this point in a deep way. On Nityananda's appearance day, I told you that the deity on the altar has four functions. The first function is that he accepts you without condition. Have you ever noticed when you have darshan of the deity, you feel accepted? Sometimes amongst human beings, we are not so sure. Are we accepted? Is everything all right? Or maybe because I maybe disappointed that person? Krishna always accepts us. If we come in dhoti, or if we come in pants, if we come after having sinned a whole night, or if I don't know, why do I say sin? Having done a whole night something else, Krishna always will accept us as we are, with full, give us a loving embrace. Have you noticed that? Of course, sometimes Madan Mohan, he will not look at you. He will just look over your head and ignore you a little bit. But then if you pray long enough, he will look down. Madan Mohan is a little heavy sometimes. But Radharani, have you noticed? Always blessings, blessings, blessings. Have you noticed? Have you heard me? I should first ask. So then the next thing is, the deities always inspire confidence. Confidence heißt Zuversicht in Deutsch. When you go before the deities and pray to them, they mysteriously can somehow inspire confidence. Only if it is, oh, it's gar nicht so schlimm. If they almost say like this, and inspiration. And there are two other qualities. But I want to just this quality of that Krishna accepts us in all situations, no matter what, in his Acha Vigraha, in his deity form, is just very wonderful. And also the point that he just seems to encourage us, no matter from where we come from, what we do, is also extremely nice. Now Madan Mohan is working a wonder. He begins to attract devotees to our project, even though it is winter time. This is very good and very necessary. So these are some of the mysteries. Anyways, I have not even started to come to the secret, but I know we have gone already for 1 hour, and most probably some of you are feeling restless. So I will... How do we do this? Tomorrow is Madhavendra Puri's appearance day. Is this correct? I thought it is today. Goloka, what is? Für Trier? Oder vielleicht für Mayapur? Bhaktivedanta Mena. Oh, man muss immer nach dem Trierer schauen. Nee, jetzt ist er gar, jetzt haben wir wie, anyways. Let me end by telling you one shloka. This is very, very wonderful. Madhavendra Puri, towards the end of his life, or manifested pastimes in this world, he went into the pastime of being apparently very ill. And his dear disciple Ishvara Puri served him during this time with everything which was necessary, including of cleaning the bathroom after Madhavendra Puri had used it. So, towards the end of his life, Madhavendra Puri's devotion, this special type of devotion, became extremely apparent. See, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship Krishna in a certain mood, the mood of intense separation, which is identical with the mood of Srimati Radharani after Krishna had left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. The Hansadutta, which is a poem by Rupa Goswami, describes that that Srimati Radharani felt so much separation at that time that Lalita was spreading these soft leaves of the lotus flower as a bedding for Srimati Radharani and sprinkled Yamuna water over it so that it was quite cooling and quite nice. Now, Radharani felt so much separation that her body was so extremely hot, such a high temperature, that she would always burn her lotus bed and make it very dry. So in this mood, Radharani spoke one verse, which Madhavendra Puri spoke towards the time when he left his body. Would you like to hear this verse? Aidina dayatra natahe matura nata kadavalokshase hridayam tvata loka kataram dayita brahm yati kim karom yaham means, what should I do now? Oh my Lord, oh extremely merciful Master, O ruler of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because I do not see you, my excited heart quivers. O my Prananath, my most beloved, what shall I do now? So Madhavendra Puri was lying with tears of love and said, what shall I do now? I do not see you. What shall I do now? And in this way, he was spending his last days in great separation. He had one disciple called Ramachandra Puri who went to the dying bed of his spiritual master and said, Guru Maharaj, don't lament now. It's a time of death. Fix your consciousness on Brahman. Madhavendra Puri came out of the ecstasy which Srimati Radharani had felt, looked at his disciple and said, get out of here! I cannot see my Lord, and now this fool comes. Away! And he sent him away. He had so much displeased his Guru Maharaj. Ramachandra Puri lost all his taste because he had not pleased his spiritual master. And as a result of losing the taste in Krishna consciousness, he began to criticize Vaishnavas as his main sport. Even he criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So on the other side, there was Ishvara Puri, who served his Guru Maharaj, especially in that time. And at the end of the life, Madhavendra Puri blessed him. You will attain the most pure love of Krishna. I pray to Krishna that he gives it to you. So this verse, and that's why I wanted to quote it, could only be understood by three people. If you think you understand the verse, you will have to see if you fall amongst these three people. The first was Radharani. The second was Madhavendra Puri, who spoke the verse. And the third person was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else could understand the tremendous feelings of separation from Lord Krishna. Not even Krishna. This is such is a verse. It is said, the more you meditate about this verse, the more taste this verse gives to you. It said this verse is like sandalwood. The more you grind it, the more fragrant it becomes. So if you want to have a nice verse for tomorrow, you should look it up in the 8th, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 8, text 33-35. And it is because of this mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly, not only on one occasion, said that it is Madhavendra Puri who is really the seed of the ecstatic love for Krishna. I would like to end here my little narration. More could be said about the way this festival was celebrated and so on in Advaita Acharya's house. But I want to just bring forth to all of you a deep understanding. As I'm trying to tell the pastimes in a way where I can reach your hearts and not just your intellect, I'm obviously thinking for myself about Madhavendra Puri and his great contribution. And what I'm really thinking is, you know, this amount of love which is in Madhavendra Puri's heart. I mean, to see a blue cloud and see it as an Udipan. Udipan means an Auslöser, an excitement, a factor, which a stimulant, which stimulates. And then think of Lord Krishna so much that he loses his consciousness and just cries and cries. This brings a little bit to our understanding the essence, really, of Chaitanya Bhakti. I really feel that this is very important for us to think about. Chaitanya Bhakti has a lot to do with love and with ecstasy. I personally feel that as I'm staying here in Goloka Dham and trying to get the jewel of strength back and the jewel of health back, which I lost somewhere on my way, this love in the heart, love for Krishna, is really the only medicine for the Kali Yuga mind. If the heart is not experiencing this love, it will always be tensed, angespannt, and looking for satisfaction somewhere in this world where there is simply no satisfaction. So when we hear about the example of such a great soul as Madhavendra Puri, what really comes to mind is this being absorbed in love. We look with an external eye on Madhavendra Puri, we will see his renunciation, his almost instinctive reaction that he didn't want fame, for instance. That's an interesting point. Or his selfless sacrifice. I mean, to be prepared to walk barefoot through the whole world practically to get a sandalwood for the deities. It really strikes you as being something special. He left Vrindavan for this. Did you notice this? He left Vrindavan to bring sandalwood from Puri. You see all these things, but all these things are really secondary. They are results of his love for Krishna. They are results of bhava. Bhava, there are some results of virakti, detachment, and forbearance, you know, to be able to tolerate everything, or that he chants the whole day without thinking of eating is also nama ruchi, the taste in the holy name. It's also a result of love. So we should really pray on tomorrow's appearance day. We should tune into Madhavendra Puri and pray to be blessed by this love. And I really think it's very significant that it's actually disappearance day, correct? Yeah, yes, I know it's disappearance day because we celebrate the appearance day of the Lord as something special, but we always celebrate the disappearance day of the Vaishnavas as something more special than his appearance day, because when he has appeared, he had not really done anything except and drinking milk and blessing his mother, but when he has disappeared, he has done so many things. So we really, disappearance days are really celebrated more. And I remember it says VT on my calendar, Verscheidungstag, disappearance day is tomorrow. So we should try to tune in Madhavendra Puri. I can show some slides. We went to Madhavendra Puri's place in Rimuna, beautiful place, and I never forget. There was this nice sadhu, and he would feed the pigeons every day, or the birds every day, with some seeds, because he said they must be great devotees to be able to be at the place of Madhavendra Puri. It's a very nice sadhu who lived there, very kind. Okay, so I will end here. I thank you very much. I do hope it was relevant for you and interesting. I'm sorry that I went a little over time. I wish all of us that we are born in the kingdom of love quite soon. World is whatever it is. We want to go in the kingdom of love. It's very important for us. Krishna. To think of Madhavendra Puri. Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. Haribo. Maybe we can hear his voice in the night when he chants his rounds. Good. So I will end here. Thank you very much. Let us please sing, say in great happiness, Shila Madhavendra Puri ki. Shila Madhavendra Puri ki. Oh, Shila Madhavendra Puri ki. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.